I want to do something a little bit different. If you take your hymnals out and turn to hymn number 279, you can if you choose to. If you want to, you can just listen. But this is what I'm going to be doing. As we move into the message, there was this hymn that to me just, and I don't know that I know the hymn. I actually had a secretary who can play piano a little bit to play it for me, and I didn't recognize it. To me, it made more sense for me to just share the words with you. And as I do, you can follow along or you can just listen. But I'm going to ask, literally, for a little bit of conversation, if there's anything that stands out to you, meaning that you get from these words as I share them. So if you would, listen, follow along if you choose. O Master, let me walk with Thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me Thy secret. Help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the homeward way. Teach me Thy patience still in Thee, in closer, dearer company. In work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong, in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only Thou canst give, with Thee, O Master, let me live. What do you hear in that? Anything meaningful there for you? And it's interesting. Ms. Giles and I were just talking about before we started. She and I were talking about how blessed we felt our lives were. And if we acknowledge what you just said, Joey, sometimes if we feel like our lives are horrible and bad and we focus on that, we can make it worse. And this is asking exactly that. Help us to understand, be with us, God, in a way that helps us take the challenges of life and recognize them as opportunities. And when you see them as opportunities and you can get excited about what God's doing, it changes your whole mindset. So that's very good. What else? What else do you see in there? And in there, it's asking God to teach us and God to guide us. And if we are living with Him, I think that's going to happen. What else? Anything else that you see? I'm not going to make stuff up. I want to know what connects with you. The walking. I was hoping somebody would get that. That's the title, Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. And thank you, May, for that. Because that's what I want us to get. And that's what we're talking about today. And I told you we're going to talk about the practicality of discipleship. And if God's walking with us, God doesn't just walk with us. He doesn't just sit with us in here. He doesn't just walk with us when we leave the church and walk with us when we come in. God walks with us all the time. And if we're able to acknowledge it, it makes a tremendous difference and enables us to be a disciple in the way God calls us to be a disciple. Mm-hmm. It really is. Community in the family of God is a powerful thing. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22, and we'll begin with verse 25. Luke 22, verse 25. Jesus said to them, the king of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you shall be the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. If you've grown up in church, you've been around, you've probably heard this passage quite a few times. I have. I've preached on it several times. But up until this time, there's one word that I've just kind of skimmed over, kind of figured I kind of knew what it was, or didn't add that much to it, or it was just okay to focus on other things. But today there's one word that I want to center the message on. I believe God wants me to too. It's the word benefactor. Can anyone here tell me what a benefactor is? I'm sure Jackie can, because she's worked with some benefactors, I suppose. What's a benefactor, Jackie? Okay. Who is the benefactor? The one that is receiving, or the one who's giving? Yes. Now, that can be a little confusing if you're not used to it, but a benefactor for a person, for an organization, is one that gives. Often it's money. It doesn't have to be money, but a benefactor is one who does that. So if you read this, does it really make sense? Because it seems like to me Jesus is saying, I don't want you to call yourselves benefactors. Does that mean Jesus doesn't want us to be one that's helping and giving and sponsoring other people in need? No. So what is the scripture talking about? Because it said he doesn't want us to call ourselves benefactors. Okay. He wants to be able to receive as well, but let's look at what they were doing. The kings of the Gentiles lorded over him. Those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. They call themselves benefactors, but were they truly benefactors in the way that God would want a king to be? It would make sense that a king should be a benefactor. A king should be one who desires the best for the people in his kingdom. And he's got the resources and the ability to make that happen. But it seems that that isn't what's happening right here, even though he's still calling himself that. Right, he's not living the part. So I want to go ahead, if you want to look in your bulletins, I've got it listed there, kind of what we're going to be talking about. But the first part there, I've asked, the role of a benefactor, is it to benefit self or others? If you're being a benefactor, is your role as a benefactor benefiting yourself or others? Others. Exactly. Well, here, from what I understood in my research and reading more of the scriptures, what these kings were about was about making sure they were taken care of and making sure their needs were met. And so that wasn't really what the benefactor was supposed to be. So now it's making sense why God was saying, don't be like these people. Don't call yourself a benefactor. But the other part is, don't call yourself something you're not. Is that making sense? Now, this is going to probably hit home even closer in a minute. I'm going to drop down stuff, but don't forget what we've talked about with benefactor. And hopefully, maybe, this word is going to come to mean, biblical word is going to mean more to you like it has more to me as we continue to talk. But let's set down to benefit self or others for a minute. Here's the first saying that I want to share. And like I've told before, it's going to be posted in the hall. I encourage you, sometime or another when you're here at the church and have some time, aren't in a rush, to just take some time and wander down the hallway and pay attention to some of these signs that are up. These were signs that a pastor, a friend that I know, not really a friend, acquaintance that I know, put these together. All of them are about discipleship. All of them are based in Scripture. But I think it's probably the most comprehensive explanation of discipleship I've ever seen. So I hope you'll take time to do that. That's why I'm putting them up. But this one says, being there for people in hard times and giving them practical help deepens our discipleship with others. And this whole thing is about serving each other. But does that make sense to you? Being there for people in hard times and giving them practical help deepens our discipleship with others. Now, when we talk about discipleship, we usually think it means sharing scriptures or telling somebody who God is. But this is talking about practical love. That's why I entitled it, "You Want Me to Clean the Toilets?" Because that doesn't sound like discipleship to me. But that can very well be discipleship, and that's what we're talking about today, and being willing to do that. And you see how that fits when it says here that, "But you are not like that. Instead, the greatest among you are to be like the youngest," because in this time, the youngest were the last ones to receive everything. And then it says, "The one who rules is to be like the one who serves." And then for the one who is greater, who's greater, the one at the table or the one who serves? And then Jesus said, "I am one that came to serve." We need to make sure we keep that understanding of what discipleship is about and what service is. So, that being said, I put under there four things that we're to pay attention to in terms of benefiting others. Others are, first, to be taken care of. Two, given opportunities to grow. Three, honored. And fourth, offered guidance, particularly those who are looking to us for it. So I'll really quickly look at those. You can look at those four things. You can make notes beside them if you want to, but I want to talk for them about just for a minute. Others are to be taken care of. Do you know any people in need right now? All right. Most of us do. Most of us know a lot of people in need, all different kinds of needs. And it's a very Christian, churchy, religious thing to say that we're supposed to go and take care of the needy. So we just go out, the first ones we get to, we take care of, right? Sometimes we approach it that way. I'm going to be hard-pressed to say, tell somebody it's wrong if they're going to help somebody. But if you simply approach it as, okay, to be a disciple, I got to help everybody in need, you're going to be overwhelmed. And you're going to wonder what kind of difference you're making. But one of the things we need to understand about discipleship, and we talked about this at the beginning when we first started talking about discipleship, but we can't forget it. When it comes to taking care of those that are in need, we can't do it for everybody, so we need to rely on God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us where He wants us to meet a need. And the way I've come to understand that, because I'm one that I just enjoy helping people. But I, as a pastor in particular, I quickly came to realize I can't help everybody that I see. It's something that I have to pray about. And I have to have my eyes open at times to see where those places are. But it's become something that's meant a lot to me, because the way I look at it, it's as though God gives me a dollar. God gives me a dollar, and I'm able to take that dollar and help somebody in need. I can just go and randomly hand that dollar to somebody that I can see genuinely has a need, or I can allow God to direct me to someone that has a need. And I believe if I'm following God's direction and I do that, God's already prepared a scenario and a situation and maybe other people that when I give that dollar, it becomes $20, $50, $100 because of the way God's at work in that situation and God and I are working together. It's not me trying to take care of a need by myself. I can only do, giving my dollar might make a dollar's difference. If God's with me and I give that dollar, it could make a world of difference. Now, I'm not saying that it's not appropriate just to help somebody that you see in need and you have to pray about everything, absolutely everything. What I'm saying is we need to be in constant contact with God in a way that He can lead and guide us, that He can show us when there's someone in need that we might miss, like that professor. That's why I said the story at the beginning. How many professors would have done what this guy did? Now, that's not saying that God would have led every professor to do the same thing. He wouldn't have. We're different. And it may have been some that children just aren't their thing. And they don't need to be going picking up a baby and trying to hold it for 50 minutes if they've never done it before in their life. But if we pay attention, God will lead and guide us in who we are to help people where God wants them to be helped. But I wanted to get in there how important the God leading of the Holy Spirit was. Second one. Giving opportunities to grow. This one can be challenging. Anybody in here ever struggled with patience? Well, if you struggle with patience, you're going to struggle with this one. Because giving somebody opportunity to grow usually means that they're struggling, they're learning, they have plenty of opportunity to become better. But if you don't sometimes give them that opportunity, they don't get that opportunity to grow, even when it would be much easier for you sometimes to do it yourself. You would do it better, you would do it quicker, and you can move on with life. But discipleship says that you have patience and you care enough about the long term that it's not just about getting something accomplished in the short term, but that you realize if you slow down enough and you take enough time to do that, eventually that person's going to grow to where they are able to accomplish things they can't accomplish right now. And that's hard. That's difficult for lots of people. But that's a part of discipleship. And you understand that word benefactor that we're talking about before? You understand how if you're a benefactor, you're giving to that person and enabling them to grow in that way? Then the third one, honored. Other people are to be honored. This one is simple. I don't need to spend a lot of time on it. They claim to be benefactors, but they were honoring themselves. I'm the ultimate benefactor. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've got the ability to do. Someone who is truly a disciple, their honor comes from their relationship with God. It doesn't come from vocalizing and getting everybody else to recognize it too. Now, I will say there's times that you can appropriately accept affirmation because people need to be able to affirm you, but that doesn't become the reason that you do what you do. Then last one under this is to offer guidance, particularly to those who are looking to us for it. If we live as Christians, if we're facing struggles in our lives and we make headway and we figured out how to navigate some of the struggles that we face, other people are going to see that. Other people that you're walking along in life with are going to realize they have some of the struggles you do, but somehow or another, you've worked through them and they're having a hard time with it, and they're going to come to you. And they're going to want to know how you do this. And we need to take time to offer them that opportunity. There's times we need to stop what our task is. Man, I've worked through, I've got through this, I'm ready to go down. All of a sudden somebody comes in and asks for 1 minute of my time, and I know doggone well it's going to be 30. But you need to be open, we need to be open, that if God wants to use that as a teaching time, as a time to bring others along, we need to figure out how to be available for God. Now, that doesn't mean we waste time and every time somebody wants to talk to us, we stop. We need to find appropriate ways to use our time because God's given us that time. Just a side quick note, not necessarily being like me. My dad accused me when I was in college. I had to move every year because I was in a different room every year. So I'd come back home, bring my stuff home, we'd take it back again. And my dad said, it seemed like every time we got there to unload, there was somebody that came to talk to me. And that conversation always lasted till the truck was unloaded. So I'm not necessarily talking about being that type of disciple. Hopefully I wasn't always that way, but not just talking to avoid work. Second point, is the purpose of a benefactor to do good or to look good? To do good. Very good. You don't have to. That was right, Trent. That's fine. To do good. The benefactor here, these kings, they were competing with the kings in other areas. They wanted to be seen as the best benefactor, the one that was better than anyone else. So you know what they do? They might really try to be a benefactor. They might actually try to make a difference for somebody, but they were going to make doggone sure that everybody around them knew that that was happening so that everybody would see that they were the best benefactor. That's not a benefactor, not in the way God wants us to be. Keep remembering benefactor. I'm going to tie it in quickly to discipleship. To do good or to look good leads to this saying, practical assignments in daily life enable great learning for those who are discipling. I'm going to read it again. Practical assignments in daily life enables great learning for those who are discipled. Many of you know I love baseball, and I love going to the Lynchburg Hillcats game. I went to one a week and a half ago, and went to the restroom while I was there between one of the innings. And I've been there enough and had conversations with people. I know some of the people in administration and all, and Ronnie. He used to be the assistant general manager. He just became the general manager at the Hillcats. Well, I go into the restroom, and I see Ronnie in there. Ronnie is standing with another maintenance worker, with a maintenance worker, trying to figure out how to make the towel dispenser work. And they're working together, and if you were standing there, you would assume both of them were maintenance guys because they were that focused, the way they were talking with each other, the way they were problem solving. But I knew it was Ronnie because I knew who Ronnie was. That's what a benefactor does. That's what a disciple does. Now, a lot of benefactors don't have the expertise to be alongside like that, but they don't raise themselves up and separate themselves and make them think they're better. And you know what? I'm glad my local Lynchburg Hillcats have a general manager who's willing to go to the bathroom and be a part of problem solving when a tile dispenser doesn't work. Now, when he needs to be somewhere else, I hope he's got the time management skills to be able to figure that out. But how much difference do you think it made in the maintenance worker he was working beside that he spent time to do that? It's huge. And so we need to be willing. That leads into what I want to talk about with humility. I believe, even though I haven't heard him talk a lot about God, Ronnie is a humble person. He doesn't have to raise himself up. But you have praise for others. Now, for example, if you go back to the other one where you're giving people opportunities to grow, if that's happening and you've done something and you've helped somebody but they've achieved, you celebrate that. You don't have to talk about all the hours and all the stuff you did to help them and the fact that you did that two times quicker yesterday. You honor and celebrate and lift them up to enable them to grow and be more the person God wants them to be. That's a part of humility. You're not putting yourself down. You're just lifting someone else up. And the other part of that is you're not looking for self-credit. It's not about yourself. I'll move on quickly. I want to share a few examples of how I think Woodland does a good job at being a benefactor. I believe Woodland is truly a benefactor in the kingdom. And these are some examples. One was last weekend. There were at least three men that I knew of. And the church allows an opportunity, a place for this to happen, so the church as a whole is involved in being the benefactor. But three men invested their lives with boys of all ages in our youth group in an overnight experience over here on the playground. They hung out under the stars, they cooked, they did different things, but these men simply spent time with them. And these men could have been doing something else. Probably would have enjoyed doing something else in many ways, but they understood a calling, a responsibility to live into the lives of these young men. And I think that made a difference. Same thing happened this weekend. There was a girls' retreat. There were two youth leaders, and then another lady came in and y'all know Pat Saunders, she knows painting. She came in, she taught the girls about painting, spent time talking to them about that. They invested in these girls' lives. I got to spend about 10 minutes with them, because they stopped by the church to do something, and they were having a blast. Victoria Saunders was imitating somebody. She had me in tears. I was laughing so hard. They got an experience, and their whole focus, their theme for the weekend was surrender and understanding what it meant to surrender to God at the place they were in their lives. That's huge. How many young women never have an opportunity to understand what that means, or have a concentrated time period where godly women invest their lives in them simply because they love them and care about them? It's huge. That's being a benefactor. That's discipleship. Haiti is another one that we've done. And we've had, there are ways that we sponsor and help children in Haiti from a distance, but I want you to know something else we did. Woodland is a benefactor because we figured out a way to send teams and to enable them to have opportunities to go, and we pray for them and we encourage them, and they talk about it when we got back. Well, there was a young lady, a high school senior, that I went to her thesis defense on Thursday. The title of her thesis was Haitians Orphan Call. Haitians Orphan Call, Americans Must Answer. Her life has been touched in a tremendous way because of the experience that she had in Haiti. And not only are you able to see that, but now she's sharing it, and she will continue to share it the rest of her life of what that means to her. That's a part of being a benefactor. Last couple ones. One is with the the young people, the children that we have. They send out cards for shut-ins and for people that are sick or people that may not be able to get around very well. And I have, in the past year, they've been doing it in a pretty concentrated way. I've gotten more feedback from elderly shut-in people that aren't even members of this church about how much that's been appreciated in the last year than I have all the other years combined since I've been here, because that's been something those children have taken on. So the children in our church, even though they don't know the word benefactor probably, they have been benefactors in the kingdom. And that's a part of understanding and growing into the role of discipleship as well. Last one, another one is Wheeling for Hope. That's going to be happening in the next week or so. Wheeling for Hope, you can say, well, that's just about raising money for cancer. Yeah, it's just about raising money for cancer. Who in this room hasn't had their lives touched by that disease in some way, shape, or form? It's a practical way. And you know how much money our little group that sponsors and plans that typically raises in a year through Wheeling for Hope? And they've done it for the past at least 5 years I've been here, and I'm sure before that. They raise somewhere between 10 and 15, some years over 15, I think, $20,000. And that money doesn't go in our offering place. That doesn't go to keep the lights on or put new carpet down or even for some other ministry. It goes directly to help cancer research. That's a practical way of helping, and people understand that, and that's being a benefactor. I want to bring this to a close really quickly. If you look at Psalm 103, 1 through 5, I want you to have a different context for benefactor. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. As we look at that, in the scripture, in the way it's described, it doesn't use the word benefactor here, but through the scripture we can actually see God as the great benefactor. So I'm going to read the scripture, and I want you to understand and see how this might be describing God as a benefactor. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, it didn't list a whole lot of specifics, but you get an idea of how much God cares for us and what he does to care for us and how he restores us. God is our benefactor. Now, why did I talk about benefactor in terms of discipleship? This is where it's a new message, completely new for me, and where I think God wanted me to focus for our conclusion. What did the scripture we started off reading say about benefactor? What was Jesus telling his followers about being a benefactor in the scripture? What did the words say? Was he saying to be a benefactor or not to be a benefactor, according to the words there? Don't be a benefactor in the way they are. Now, do you think God really didn't want them to be benefactors? In the way they are. Benefactor is a good word. Benefactor is a good thing. What's hit me is that I believe, and I don't want this to happen with us. It can happen if we don't pay attention to what God's saying. I don't want God to say at some point about me, about us, to someone who's searching, who maybe sees us, don't be a disciple like them. Now, God obviously wants us to be disciples, and we're studying discipleship. But in order to be a disciple in the way God wants us to be, first of all, we must realize God as our benefactor. We cannot do it on our own. We can try. We can think we're a good person. But we cannot be a disciple without first having a relationship, a genuine relationship with God where we've given our life to him. You can't be a disciple without that, and that's got to be the starting point. And then from there, unfortunately, there are some people that they do that and they think they've got that down. They've gone to church. They've been baptized. They've learned their scripture memories. They're on committees. They attend the church every time the doors are open. And that they're so focused on that and on being a good church person because they think a church person is equal to a disciple, that they miss out on these things. The practical assignments, the things that God shows us every day of how we can live and function in our everyday lives and with someone else, He uses us to connect with them in a way that then God, through us, can show Himself to them. You don't have to work at being a disciple and figure out these big, huge, grandiose things to do. All we have to do is have our eyes open to where God's leading us and where He's calling us. And most of the time, it's pretty simple. It can be in the form of holding a crying baby for a mother who doesn't know what to do. It can be in the form of helping a maintenance worker who's fixing a towel dispenser. Those are some simple steps. And yes, sometimes He leads you to go to Haiti and come back and write a master's thesis about it. Thankfully, He didn't call me to do that second part. But God does that. He really does. So to be disciples, that's what we need to pay attention to. But I want us to understand and never sell short the simple things in life and helping people in that way, because that's where those connections begin to happen and where doors begin to open. I'm going to ask Melissa to come up. And as she does, one last quick thing. If I hope maybe... And I know you can get busy with life, but if you want to study this, if you want to think about this more, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I could preach another whole sermon about it. But if you want to think about a benefactor, a character in the Bible, who I think is an epitome of benefactor, go back and read the story of Joseph. Joseph, the one who his brothers had thought they were going to kill him because he was wearing the multicolored coat and his dad loved him so much. And then finally they ended up selling him away, and he ended up going to Egypt, and he tried to do the right thing there, but then this woman that was interested in him got him in trouble, and he spent years in jail, but he was doing what God wanted to, interpreting dreams, and he interpreted dreams for people, and then he did a favor for someone, got him out of jail, and said, please remember me to the king, to the Pharaoh when you get out. And 2 years later, after this guy had gotten his freedom, he happened to remember him in passing. He had a rough life. But if you look at him throughout that life, he lived into being a benefactor, both in understanding that God was his leader and doing what God gave him opportunity to do in the midst of some horrible challenges in life. So no matter how difficult, no matter where you are in life, no matter how hard it is, you can still live into what it means to be a disciple of Christ and to be a benefactor in the way it's described in Scripture. Let's stand and sing.
Please stand and turn to 305. I have decided to follow Jesus, singing verses 1, 2, and 4.
As we close in prayer, would you do this if God's leading you to? Who is it in your life that needs to be discipled? Who is it in your life that needs a benefactor? That's a part of being a disciple. We receive from God, but when we receive, it is our responsibility to also give, and not just randomly. There's a saying about random acts of kindness. I don't believe that's a very Christian statement. I believe God wants to be a part of what we do. So, as we close, ask God to bring to mind who it is, where it is, how it is, or at least that you would be open to that as you go throughout your life. Lord, I do thank you for the fact that you love us and you care about us enough to speak to us, to teach us through your scripture in truth and in grace. To realize, Lord, that sometimes we're going to fall, that we're going to fail, but to realize that we need to have it pointed out to us when we're not living in the way that you've called us to. And so as we seek to be your disciples, help us to realize that everything that's of worth comes from you. But as we receive those things, we also have responsibility to share them with others at the time, at the place, in the way that you lead us to. Lord, help that to be more important this week than simply our own agendas. Help us to do this in a way that not only blesses those around us, but grows the kingdom and impacts eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.